Welcome to Northern Goal, the football podcast from the Evening Express and Press and Journal. In this week's episode, we'll discuss Aberdeen's ongoing issues in the final third, with fans voicing their discontent at boss Derek McInnes. There were good signs for Ross County at Celtic Park, and a blow to Cali Thistle's promotion hopes at Ayr. We'll also go over wins for Peterhead, Cove Rangers and Elgin City, as well as all of the Highland League talking points. I'm Ryan Cryle. With me in the studio today are Danny Law, Paul Third and Sean Wallace. How are you doing, guys?
Very well, thanks. Very Ryan. Good, thanks.
Okay, so today we'll start with the Dons, who played at a 0-0 draw with St Mirren and Paisley. A lot of fans were angry about this one.
Yeah, it was pretty turgid stuff for anyone that managed to watch that, Ryan. Obviously, Matty Kennedy had his first start, and he looked okay in spells, promising, but I guess the big talking point from the match was actually the reaction from the Dons fans towards the end of the game, which was something that Derek McInnes afterwards said that he was gutted about, to hear the fans voicing their frustrations in that manner. So obviously a kind of big few days coming up with the transfer window and a huge match at the end of the week against Rangers to come. But overall a very disappointing weekend for the Dons.
I can't understand that frustration, I have to say. I don't think Derek McInnes should be going, I'll say that from the outset. However, the fans, clearly from the ones that I've spoken to, they've felt like it's been stuck in this kind of rut almost for the better part of a year. It was the coming back after the winter break last year was where Aberdeen's home form really started to tail off, and ultimately it cost them third place in the league behind Kilmarnock. It has improved a lot. I think their defeat to Motherwell last week was only their second home defeat in the league this season. But a lot of the football at times, it's not free-flowing. The way they're having to rely on Sam Cosgrove has really become the dominant issue at the club and in the team this season. And that's the thing they've got to fix. They need more goals from elsewhere.
I think the main problem is complete lack of entertainment. That's what's really frustrating the Aberdeen fans, because when you look at where they are now compared to last season, there's not that much difference. It's just there's nothing to get the fans out of their seats, nothing to entertainment. And the bottom line is, it's an entertainment industry. People are paying money to go and watch this, giving up their time, and they're getting very little back from that. And I think that's what it boiled over at St Mirren, because it had been the same against Motherwell. And I think the frustrations are just reaching a tipping point for some fans. But I'm of the opinion as well that it's far too early to talk about McInnes leaving the club or being axed.
But maybe trying to clutch a wee positive here, but is this not in some ways a good time to go through a bad patch? Because you've still got a few days until the transfer window closes, and so much better to go through this kind of rut this month than in February when you can't really do anything about it. And the fact is that the reaction from the fans as well, it might put a bit of extra onus on the board, and this is obviously the first transfer window with Dave Cormack at the helm, but perhaps that might put a little bit more pressure to open the purse strings, maybe try and get in two players this week instead of maybe one was the original plan. So perhaps could be a blessing in disguise if it turns out that it means that there's a little bit more extra wriggle room, because you can see that there's that need to bring in a player, particularly a creative player. That seems to be essential, I would think, for the rest of the week.
They definitely need a number 10, someone to bring that creativity. And Kenny McLean's never really been replaced. And they probably need to bring in another striker, because Sam Cosgrove apart, no one is bringing goals to the table, and that is a huge worry. If Sam Cosgrove gets injured, then you just wonder, where does that leave Aberdeen? And if he does, and if he goes before the end of the transfer window, which I don't think he will, but if he does, then Aberdeen are in real trouble.
Matty Kennedy obviously made his debut at St Mirren, signed from St Johnston early, supposed to be coming in the summer. Do we think he could be the number 10? He obviously played on both wings and in the 10 on Sunday.
I think he's got the ability to do that, but I'm not sure that's necessarily the signing that the Aberdeen fans were looking for as that creative outlet. I think he's one that's been signed up, so obviously got a lot of pace, good at dribbling with the ball, but I think he's been perceived as someone that can work on either wing rather than in the 10 behind Cosgrove. But he can do all three, and I think he's a good player, but I think that's just the start. You would like to think that there's another player coming on top of that can that can play that number 10 role.
There has to be another player. Sean made the point, Kenny McLean's not being replaced. You could add in Ryan Christie to that. You could add in James Maddison to that, his brief spell. You could add Johnny Hayes to that, Gary Mackay-Steven. You go back through Derek McInnes's reign, and every summer is a rebuilding job. And he's gone to the well just now, and it's run that little bit dry in terms of, can he get the guy he needs, the player he needs? Maybe he can't, and it can't be one player. Maybe Kennedy isn't the answer on his own. That's my personal opinion. I think he needs more around about him, because he can't do it himself.
Where do Ryan Hedges and the likes of James Wilson, who was obviously injured on Sunday, where do they fit into the puzzle then?
Ryan Hedges is a strange one, because he seems to have fallen out of the picture, but every time I've seen him, he looks like the player that could bring that creativity and change it. Even when he's come off the bench in the last few games, he's the one that looks like he's going to do something, and yet he's languishing on the bench, which, to be honest, I can't understand.
I'd go along with that completely, Sean. Aberdeen's best period of play in the last two games has been when Hedges has come on to the pitch in the last half hour. As for James Wilson, answers on a postcard to that one, as far as I'm concerned. I have no idea what's happening there. A hugely frustrating player, no doubt in his ability, but he's just not producing it when called upon.
Who do we see maybe going out on loan before the end of the transfer window?
I think you'd have to look at some of the younger players, such as Conor McLennan, perhaps. I think he was someone that he's shown in hints what he can do as an Aberdeen player, but I think he would benefit from maybe going somewhere, maybe such as a championship club, where he was could maybe get regular game time. And I mean, the interesting one, obviously, is Bruce Anderson, who scored another hat-trick for the reserves this week. And if he's not going to be starting as the Aberdeen striker, then I think he's someone that could also benefit. He obviously had a loan spell at Dunfermline that went reasonably well. But yeah, he would be someone that perhaps could benefit from going somewhere.
I don't think the fans would take too kindly to that one, though, Danny. But Anderson, as you've said, he scores a lot of goals for the reserves. He's the guy that they want to see getting the nod. And probably, at this moment in time, is the second choice striker at the club. I would say he's ahead of Curtis Main in the pecking order now.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, well, you've got to look at it from Aberdeen perspective. It's probably you'd want to keep him. From his personal development perspective, if he's only going to be getting 5 minutes here and there for the rest of the season, then better for him to go out and play somewhere where he's actually starting games, because whenever he's came into the Aberdeen first team and been given a start, he's not really produced the goods yet. And I think he needs that stepping stone, because he's proven that he can score a barrel load of goals in the reserve team, but as a Don's first team player, when he's in from the start, he's not really kind of shown that he can do it yet. And I think that's where, if you were to give him maybe 15, 20 games at a championship club or even a lower Scottish Premiership club and he's starting games, then he could come back and maybe prove that he is someone that could become a first choice Aberdeen player. And what you don't want is, you don't want a similar Lawrence Shankland scenario where you've got someone who is scoring loads of goals for the reserves, but that's not able to translate into an Aberdeen first team player.
That's the thing. I mean, Lauren Shanklin had plenty of opportunities at Aberdeen, but he was at that stage of his development where he wasn't quite ready to get run of first team games. And I think Bruce Anderson is the same. When you had a barrel load of goal chances against Dumbarton, but he just couldn't convert them. Mm-hmm. So I think a loan spell for him would do his career mm-hmm. development a world of good.
Okay,
well, I'll play devil's advocate. I would keep him. I would keep him.
Then if he does go, you're thinking, where are the goals coming from if Sam Cosgrove gets injured?
Yep.
So the Dons, 4 points behind Motherwell in third now, and without a goal in open play in 292 minutes, and with 3 league wins in 10. And it's Rangers at Ibrox next. So what do we see happening this weekend?
Well, it's difficult to predict, because you don't know what the Aberdeen team is going to be going down there. You don't know, there could be a couple of debutants in the team. They might be going there without Sam Cosgrove, without Scott McKenna, although I think the expectation is that they will probably be there. But you never know what can happen. The transfer window, come deadline day, there might be stupid money thrown about. So it's really difficult to predict. Obviously, Rangers as well, they've got a game before Aberdeen. But... they're obviously being stung with the defeat at Hearts at the weekend, so they'll be determined to bounce back this week with two wins. So it's a tall order for Aberdeen, this one, and obviously we know what happened the last time they went there. It was quite a heavy defeat, so a difficult one, but perhaps going down there with a couple of new faces in the squad might help bring out a better performance than what was the case at Paisley.
You have to add in the Ryan Jack factor too. Looks like he's going to miss the visit of his old club this weekend. He's been such an important figure for Stephen Gerrard's side, especially in the games against the Dons that we've seen this season. Him not being there, will that allow the likes of McGeoch and Ojo to get on the ball and dictate play at Ibrox? That'll be interesting to see.
There's no better game for Aberdeen to sort of revitalise the season than potentially winning at Rangers. That would get the fans back on side. If they did get 3 points at Ibrox, it would probably destroy Rangers' title hopes. And last season, they knocked Rangers out of both cups. So, I mean, that's there for the taking. It's just if they want to go and get it. And on performances so far, it's going to be a big, big ask.
Okay, obviously Rangers in action first against Ross County tomorrow night. We'll discuss them next, and Cali Thistle. So now we move on our teams further north to help us with this section. As usual, we have an Inverness-based Press and Journal sports writer, Andy Skinner, on the line. How are you doing today, Andy?
A bit chilly in the north, but not so bad. How's things with yourself?
Yeah, I think we're all good here. So, obviously you're at Celtic Park at the weekend. I understand Ross County gave a good account of themselves in a 3-0 defeat.
Yeah, there were a lot of question marks hanging over Ross County going into this one, because the last time they were at Parkhead, they were on the receiving end of a pretty chastening 6-0 defeat, and you know that same pattern's kind of followed any time they've played against Celtic and Rangers this season. They haven't really fared well at all. So, you know, there was maybe a sense of this could be an ominous afternoon, but it was clear from the start that they went about this one with a bit more belief. They had plenty attacking intent and had no problem creating chances. The main two in the first half fell to Blair Spittle and Josh Mullen, which they could have done better with. Neither of those players managed to hit the target, so there was a real sense of frustration that they weren't able to capitalise on that. And I guess it's all quite hypothetical as to what would have happened if County had taken the lead in the first half, but there was a real sense that the Celtic fans were beginning to get frustrated. So that penalty that they got, which probably was just about a penalty, it looked a bit of a soft one, but Keith Watson did look to just catch Mikey Johnson as he turned towards goal. That came at such a crucial time for Celtic to you know, get a foothold in the game, and from that point on it didn't really look as if County were going to get a way back in. And I suppose when you've got a £9 million centre forward lingering on the bench, it's quite a statement of intent from Neil Lennon midway through the second half. But certainly a lot of positives to take into what you would expect would be quite a similar kind of game plan going into tomorrow's game at Ibrox.
Should they be wary of a wounded Rangers tomorrow night?
Yeah, to some extent. But I suppose with it being so nip and tuck at the top of the table, there's major pressure on both Celtic and Rangers in every game that they play just now. Obviously that defeat on Sunday puts Celtic firmly back into the driving seat as regards the title race. So if Ross County can go to Ibrox in a similar fashion and kind of frustrate the home crowd by sticking to that same game plan, the chances are the Rangers fans will get restless and they might put a bit of pressure onto the home players. It's got to be the approach, really, as far as County go, because once again there's no expectation on them to get a result here, but they're obviously going to want to try and pick something up, because again it's hypothetical, but there certainly was the opportunity for them to take something unexpected on Saturday at Parkhead.
Are we expecting anything else in the transfer window as far as the Stoggies are concerned?
I've been up to Dingwall this morning to speak to Stuart Kettlewell, and he's not ruling anything out, but I don't think there's an urgent need to get anything in. I think they're quite happy with the three signings that they've made so far. they've certainly strengthened the spine of the team. Paul Donaldson and Jordan Tilson have played every game since they came into the club earlier in the window, and they seem to have slotted in pretty seamlessly. Tilson looks quite assured on the ball. County's midfield was, you know, a good functioning unit and hit on the break quite a lot on Saturday, which Tilson was, you know, quite a key part of. And Donaldson had a brilliant display in the midweek game against Hearts last week, slotting in alongside Keith Watson in the last couple of games, and looks quite solid. Obviously need to see Ollie Shaw kind of properly thrust into action. He's just had a 20-minute appearance coming off the bench against Hearts, but he's one that they're very hopeful about, because, you know, it wasn't so long ago that Hibs were, you know, holding him in very high regard as to being, you know, a prospect for the future. You know, he's one that County are delighted to have permanently. They didn't think that they were going to be able to secure him on anything other than a loan deal. So when the opportunity came to get him permanently, they absolutely went for that.
Just briefly on Cali Thistle then, they obviously lost 1-0 at Ayr United. John Robertson pointed to a lack of hunger from Cali. That's worrying at this stage in the season, with them sitting second in the Championship table.
This sort of result kind of sums up Cali Thistle's season for me. I mean, with the way the results worked out over the weekend, they went into that game down at Ayr knowing that after Dundee's loss to Dunfermline on Friday, that they would have the chance to make a real statement of intent and move 7 points clear of their nearest challengers, who were Ayr. But that defeat just draws everything much tighter again. They're still second, obviously, but they've never really managed to pull away. They just seem to have games like this every now and again where you know, they just miss out on that chance to put a wee bit of distance between themselves and other teams. But they have bounced back pretty well when defeats have come around this season. They're at home to Alloa on Saturday, which is a game that they'll be looking to capitalise on. They've obviously got fresh memories of beating Alloa in the Scottish Cup just a fortnight ago. So, you know, that at home is certainly one that 3 points will be the expectation from.
What about their transfer window activity? Is it all done? I know there could be another player on his way out.
Yeah, it looks like Jamie McCart's headed for St Johnstone, potentially in time to play against Celtic tomorrow. So, I mean, John Robertson's made noises about, you know, having guys ready to fill in if need be. But obviously, the way that he went with his back line on Saturday involved Brad McKay coming in to partner Kevin McCarthy, leaving Lewis Toshney on the bench. So he's obviously one that's still to get up and running. So in the short term, you'd imagine Toshney would be the man. But if they've lost two players, then, you know, you'd think that John Robertson might be inclined to try and bring something in short term, at least, maybe even a loan deal. The other option he's got is young Cameron Harper, who's currently on loan at Elgin. That's a deal that's due to expire at the end of the month. I know that Gavin Price is keen to extend that until the end of the season, but just in terms of numbers, he's one that might just be called upon to you know, just keep the numbers up for Cali Thistle's running.
Andy, do you think there's any chance of Shane Sutherland coming in this week?
Again, I think that one would depend on players going out. And it, really, the speculation and the turnover of players seems to have kind of affected the back line more than attackers. I think if anything was to happen in regards to Jordan White, then that would probably bring about you know, a movement for Shane Sutherland. But I think John Robertson's made it pretty clear that he sees that one for next season. He's respectful of Elgin's position as well, and, you know, obviously Shane scored for Elgin at the weekend, and they've got a big, you know, playoff run-in coming up now. So I think it would very much depend on players going. I don't think there's an urgent need to bring him in at this moment in time.
Right, well, thank you very much, Andy, once again. Next up, we'll be discussing our teams in League 1 and League 2. Okay, so it was a good weekend for our teams in League 1 and League 2. Peterhead won 1-0 against Dumbarton at Balmoor. Cove Rangers with a 2-0 win at the Balmoral against Annan. And Elgin City finally held on for a 2-1 win at Stirling Albion. So guys, how are we feeling about Peterhead, first of all? Obviously, pulling clear, 5 points away from the relegation playoff in League One.
A huge result for Peterhead, especially after Rory McAllister's departure. This was their first game without their inspirational captain, and they've made hard work of it, but it's a very big result for them.
Dumbarton looked quite good at Pataudry the week before as well, really well organised, so that was always going to be quite a tricky game for them. Also the news afterwards as well that's been quite welcomed about Simon Ferry signing a new deal, and he's going to combine that, I think, with coaching responsibilities as well at the club. So I know Jim McAnally has always been quick to lavish praise on Simon and what he's done at the club, and described him as the best part-time player in Scotland, and they'll be keen to have him commit his long-term future to the club as well. So Ben Armour got the goal, but I think Stephen Boyd as well impressed on his debut for the Blue Toons. So yeah, very, very good weekend for them.
Good start for the new skipper Scott Brown as well. A vital win that sort of creates a wee bit of space between that relegation position.
I suppose the one negative is that Ben Armour, after scoring, tears a hamstring, according to Jim McAnally, which is obviously a big blow for a young player to kind of get that big confidence boost and then potentially miss quite a lot of football afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And they've got a big game coming up this weekend against Montrose. So they would have liked to have had him in the squad for that one. But they do have players that can step in. But it'll be interesting to see if Jim tries to get any more additions in before the transfer window closes. I'm sure, like any manager, he'd probably be keen to get one or two, because the squad in some areas is a little bit thin.
Right, so dropping down to League Two then, Cove Rangers is now 5 points clear after the win over Annan. 30, you were there. How did it go?
To the form book, I guess, would be the best way of describing that. Cove do what they always do at home, they win. 12 wins out of 12 at home, and they're just relentless. That's the word I would use to describe Paul Hartley's Cove Rangers side. Mitch Megginson scores, Jamie Masson scores. It's business as usual.
How did Rory look?
Rory was okay, yeah. He didn't. I can't say he missed any chances, because there was nothing that really fell his way. He links up well with Megginson, but to me, from what I've seen, and that was my first game of Paul Hartley's Cove Rangers side that I've seen, it's Harry Milne is the one that sticks out like a sore thumb. He is the key guy in an attacking sense, even though he's a left back. Everything goes through him, and it's the chances are all down the left hand side.
Was he on the same side as Masson?
Yes. But Masson likes to cut in on his right foot. He hit the bar and scored a goal. And when he cuts in, that opens up the space for Milne to overlap down the left. And it's wave after wave down that side, especially at home from what I've seen.
Are Cove on a relentless march to the Championship, do you feel? Do you think if they go up this season, they'll just jump from League One straight away?
I'm judging that on one game I've seen. I don't know. what I would say is I expect Cove to win the title. I know that they're not talking about it, but that's what the goal is. Whether they can go League One to Championship straight away, I think that's a bigger task. You just need to look at Montrose and Peterhead, who are the champions of the last 2 years. They have been mid-table to bottom half. It's a big jump. This team is good enough to go up. I think they would need to be stronger to go up again.
One thing they'd have in their favour is an ability to probably make some of the squad full-time if they go up to League One next season, which is something that Peterhead obviously haven't been able to do.
The thing with Cove as well is they could potentially start luring away frustrated fans from Aberdeen, because Cove are playing exciting football. They're guaranteed goals, they're winning games, and that's what people want to see.
Okay, so finally, Elgin. They held on for a good win after going 2-0 up. Goals in both halves for Elgin before Stirling pulled one back. They're now in the last promotion playoff slot, so are we expecting them to make a decent push?
I think so. They're going to obviously hope that they manage to keep Shane. I don't know if you saw the goal that he scored, but it was a pretty exquisite finish from him. It was a lovely little chip over the goalkeeper. But I mean, he's pivotal to their promotion ambitions this year. It'd be great to see Elgin manage to get through the playoffs. Obviously, never managed to get out of that division. It'll depend. They've got quite a lot of big games coming up. Big game coming up, including against Cove at home. But they've got a decent squad there. If they can manage to keep one or two, then they'll have a decent chance.
They've got Brechin at the weekend. That's the that's one you would hope they're going to take all 3 points from. With all due respect to Brechin, they're having a torrid time of it at the bottom of League Two. And these are the games that if Elgin want to be playoff contenders, they have to win. They have to be winning this.
Okay, so finally, we'll discuss the Highland League up next. So the eye-catching result in the Highland League this weekend was Inverurie Locos with a 5-0 win at home against Rothes. How did you see that one, Danny?
Well, I was very surprised by that result, actually, because I thought, given that Inverurie were looking to bounce back after losing in the Aberdeenshire Shield final midweek against Fraserburgh, against a Rothes side that would have been rested the whole week, I really fancied Rothes to go and at least get a point, but... instead, they got absolutely thumped by Locos. Chris Angus scored for the eighth game in a row. First ever Inverurie Locos player to do that, although he admitted when I spoke to him afterwards that he didn't know that was the case. But he's obviously hoping to make it 9 goals in a row when they play Brora Rangers this weekend. And that's obviously a huge game in terms of the title race. Brora made it past one of the tough tests that they've had by beating Rothes already, but... Inverurie Locos back in form with that 5-0 win going up to Dudgeon Park this weekend. That's a huge test for Stephen Mackay's team, so quite an intriguing weekend in the Highland League awaits.
The interesting part for me is how Rothes are going to react to this, because they've had a terrific run under Ross Jack, but that's them now lost their first game under him at home to Brora, and what was a huge match for them, and they've then followed up with their heaviest defeat of his reign so far. They're at home to Strathspey this weekend. He'll be looking for a big reaction, I'm sure.
Obviously, there's a Highland League game tomorrow night for Martin United at home to Keith. They've had a really good January, and although they're kind of further down the table, they had a good win at the weekend in the Highland League Cup, getting through the semi-finals, so they'll be looking to push on from that.
Yeah, good win against Forest, and there was they went through a really sticky period for Martin, where they came up against a lot of tough teams and lost a few games just by the odd goal, but they managed to put a little bit of a winning run together. They've got some momentum, and you would have to fancy them to continue that tomorrow night.
Obviously, there's also a game on Friday. Clark McCudden once again playing at Highland Rugby Club's Canal Park against Forest Mechanics.
Yeah, and there was a huge crowd at the first game at Canal Park when Fort William were the visitors, and I think that there was also a bit of novelty with it being the first game. But I would imagine that there seems to be a bit of an appetite for Friday night football in the Highlands, and I would imagine that there'd be another big crowd there to watch that one.
I was going to ask that question, following on from Aberdeen last week, and the fact that they've been having talks about the possibility of an evening Saturday night kickoff. I think Hibs is again being mentioned. Mm-hmm. Could this be something that the Highland League do on a regular basis, Friday night football?
I think so, because you've got a lot of supporters in the northeast area, or even in the Inverness area, that might want to take in Cali Thistle or a county game, but they would quite enjoy getting their Friday fix of football as well and going to a game straight after work. And it would work down here as well, because you get a lot of people that are even involved in playing amateur football on a Saturday afternoon, and they would like to go watch a game, and a Friday night can be perfect for some people.
I'm in favour of Friday night football, but Saturday night football, no. No, Saturday nights are for drinking and going to cinema, not for watching football in freezing cold.
Saturday nights are for drinking, yeah, there you go.
I was surprised by the reaction to the Dons' plans about Saturday night football. It seemed to be overwhelmingly positive, which I didn't think was the case. I know from looking at the Scottish Supporters Survey that Friday nights are popular, although everyone always still says 3 p.m. Saturdays, that's when football should be played. But I did think the Saturday night, having that never been posed before really in one of these surveys, and it looks like it's kind of going to be a hit.
Yeah, I mean, there's contrasting views on this one. Obviously, you would get some people turning up to the games with, I guess, an afternoon's worth of drinking in them before the game takes place. And you've also got to think about the visiting supporters who, if you're coming up the road from Edinburgh, if you're a Hibs fan, by the time the game finishes at, say, 7 o'clock or 7:30, it's going to be quite a while by the time you're back down the road. And albeit most people don't have to work on a Sunday, but I mean, I'm always in favour of a 3 p.m. on a Saturday. But if I had a choice between a lunchtime kickoff or an evening kickoff, I'd probably prefer it to go along and watch an evening game myself.
But you always work on a Sunday, Danny, don't you?
That's true.
I would go definitely the 3 p.m.
So we need to round off the Highland League. So on Saturday, the other scores were Brora Rangers 4, Devonville 2. Forest Mechanics versus Fermartin was obviously postponed because of the Highland League Cup tie. Fort William Bucky Thistle was postponed because of a waterlogged pitch. Fraserburgh won 3-1 against Nairn County at home. We've mentioned the Locos score. Keith lost at home to Huntley 1-0. Lossiemouth lost 2-0 at home to Wick Academy. And Turriff United won 2-0 against Clatnacudden at the Hacks. There's obviously games Wednesday and Friday night, and the Saturday games this week are Brora versus Locos, Bucky Thistle versus Turriff United, Devon Vale versus Fort William, Fermartin United versus Lossiemouth, Huntley versus Fraserburgh, Rothes at home to Strathspey, and Wick Academy host Nairn County. So that concludes this week's episode of Northern Goal. Thanks, of course, to Danny, Paul, and Sean.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Cheers.
And thank you to Andy as well. So if you've enjoyed listening this week, please subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, enjoy the football wherever you are this week. Hope you loved the episode. And if you did, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review or rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to pick up your copies of the Press and Journal and Evening Express every day for the best football writing and analysis in the North.